Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. What in the world is going on with the modern day churches? Let me know if you attend a non-denominational Christian church. Maybe you attend, those are the ones that I'm really talking about here because they seem to be a little more independent. On the other hand, they all seem to sort of follow the same formula of like going to a rock concert. And that's one of the things that kind of troubles me about these non-denominational churches. And I personally do not attend those types of churches any longer. Perhaps you do, and perhaps you're being spiritually fed there, and that's great for you. I asked my husband, Pastor David, what he thinks is going on in these non-denominational Christian churches. And I'm going to share his list with you in just a moment. And then I want to share with you this very strange request that a church is making of a couple who are healthy Americans. And I want to share with you their concern. And then I'm going to share with you my response and what they can do to stand up against this very strange request. I hope you got all that straight. All right, before we do anything, I want to show you actually a couple of videos that I did on my YouTube channel. And remember, I'm here every day at 4 p.m. Pacific. That is 7 p.m. Eastern. I either do a live stream or I have a premiere upload for you like this. Sometimes I have a top hit, which is a favorite video that I think needs to be seen again. I did a couple of videos here about modern day churches. This was trendy pastors about how they all seem to be wearing the same kind of clothing, particularly black leather motorcycle jackets. And I thought that was interesting because really in church, I thought we were like speaking out against the world, yet here they are following the trends. Anyhow, you can watch that if you're interested. It got 16,000 views and a lot of controversial comments. And then this I thought was funny, the Swag Seminary for Pastors. It's not my video, but it is a comedic video. And I thought it was really funny about how pastors get trendy. So I have covered this in the past. But what I want to do now is actually thank the sponsor of today's video. And we are going on over to dermal1.com/Peggy. This is where you can watch a free video that's been viewed thousands of times. And this is for those of you who are interested in not having to do all of the pricey types of treatments to look your best, because looking younger was once thought to be a luxury that only women who had access to costly professional treatments could enjoy. So basically, the rich and famous stayed ageless. And now there is a game-changing discovery that's leveling the playing field as more and more women are looking and learning how to fight back against their body's aging switch. So this is true that you can slow down the appearance of aging if that's something of interest to you. And this is not, this anti-aging trend is not anything to do with aggressive treatments or expensive creams, but it is a simple daily ritual that takes less than a minute to perform. So if you've noticed your friends looking better, rejuvenated, maybe more youthful, it's a good chance that they've been doing this themselves. So I want you to learn all about these DHT molecules and how they affect the visible signs of aging. And you can learn right here from this doctor. He is a MD out of Beverly Hills, California. He is a surgeon who uncovered something truly shocking. And again, it is this information about helping your body reduce the effects of a skin aging hormone at home. So again, without the professional treatments, creams, lifestyle changes. So you can watch this tutorial over at dermal1.com/Peggy. Of course, everyone's body reacts differently. Your results might vary, but there are women who are reporting firmer feeling skin, fewer visible wrinkles, and thicker looking hair and increased energy as well. That sounds good to me. So if you're interested in looking younger without the significant cost, check it out. I'll have a link for you in the description box below, dermal1.com/Peggy. All right, let's talk about something that's been on my mind, and that is the strange request of modern day churches. And what I mean by that are these requirements of these churches for the parishioners. Now, think back to a few years ago, and you probably experienced what we did in California, and that was that the churches shut down, all right? We were attending a church that we actually liked, and they said, oh no, you know, to keep everybody safe, we are going to close the churches because, you know, it's the right thing to do to not allow people to gather and have fellowship and pray and worship God. So yeah, no, we were against that. And I actually reached out to some of my local churches that I had attended. And again, these are the non-denominational Christian churches, sort of along maybe a Baptist style of preaching. I'm not exactly sure. But I wrote to them and I said, great news. You don't have to close your churches. You actually can allow people to gather. And for those who are living in fear and are afraid of catching some deadly disease by having healthy people without symptoms breathe on them, well, then they can stay home and they can watch these sermons online, because most modern churches have some type of interactive video process where you can watch these sermons online. So why not keep going like that? Or if you really wanted to be extra safe, you could have people sit every other seat or something like that, because, you know, it's scientifically proven that these cooties don't go more than 6 feet apart. So, or I should say it's safe, 3 feet apart, or was it 6 feet apart? I'm forgetting now, they keep changing that on us. So anywho, I wrote to these churches and I said, great news. There's no law. You can keep your church open. You can keep ministering to your parishioners, who actually probably need more help now than ever because of all of these terrifying things that are on the news and that their families are telling them. And to the church, the pastors wrote back and said, oh, thank you for that information. We're going to keep our church closed because it's the safe and effective thing to do. So that didn't go too far. That's when my husband, Pastor David, and I started to attend church outside, and it was called Beach Church, and it was a non-denominational, eclectic gathering of freedom-minded people in San Clemente. We didn't start the church, but we took that over after a few months because it started to get much more political in its nature, and we were there for worship and fellowship and freedom and family and fun and friends and food and all those good things that come together when you are among a community of believers. So my husband started preaching at this church, and we called it Beach Church, and it was every month. And that sort of has changed a little bit, and we're not doing that every month. In fact, we've been on a hiatus as God has called us to minister in different ways. In fact, my husband, Pastor David, has a weekly show on YouTube, and it's called True Hope Tuesday. And it's on Tuesday, and you can hear his messages, his sermons, his spiritual encouragement for hope and healing. And that's a way that you can hear from him every single week instead of just once a month. So we really did this in a way to push back against these churches that were closing. And after a period of time, I realized I didn't even want to go to these non-denominational sort of, I don't know, community churches, or it's hard to put my finger on the correct description. If you have a better word or adjective, please let me know. And again, I am kind of doing a generalization here because I know there are wonderful pastors. And I know one personally, Pastor Kemble from KPAC Bible Church. It's not a non-denominational church. It's a Bible-believing, old-fashioned church that does not follow the Scofield Bible, if you're aware of what that means. He's going to be my guest speaker at the end of this month in our private webinar. And that is it's actually the last Saturday of every month. And that is at 4 p.m. Pacific for all of our donors. So if you are a monthly donor, if you are a paid subscriber to Substack or to peggyhall.tv, or if you have sent cash or a check in the mail, then you are invited to our monthly webinar. They're live, they're private, they're censorship free. And Pastor Kemble is going to give us some good old fashioned spiritual encouragement. He's going to talk about why we're in the fix that we're in. I might even encourage him to speak a little bit about God's truly chosen people and how that all plays out. He is quite an expert in that realm. But the point that I'm getting at is there are wonderful preachers, pastors out there. But these modern day churches that shut down, and then there were people that wanted to go back and they wanted everybody to become a human pincushion. How does that figure into living without fear and putting your faith in God? There are so many Bible verses I could quote about you're not supposed to fear their faces. Remember, they wanted everybody to cover their faces, their God-given face, that you were made in the image of God, and these churches wanted you to cover it. Well, I worship God by breathing, and I have never obstructed my breath, and I'm never going to. So that didn't sit well with me, with these modern-day churches. And then when they wanted people to come back and work for them, as I say, they wanted people to be human pincushions. They wanted them to obstruct their God-given breath of life and so many other things that just didn't sit well with me. Now, my husband, I asked him, what are some of the things that he didn't care for? And one of them was, where's Jesus? All right. They often have church services and they don't even mention Jesus Christ or the purpose of the Christian faith. And then they don't speak very much about repentance or sin. It's all kind of sugar-coated. He also is concerned about the lack of reverence for God in some of the prayers. It seems like there's not a lot of respect. Like they are bringing God down to man's level. Like, oh, he's just my best friend. And hey, you know, they'll be very casual in their prayer. And you know, to each his own. I'm not commenting on that per se, but these are things that my husband has noticed, kind of a lack of reverence or respect for God in some of these churches. And then he says, and this I agree with him 100%, church is not supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be inspiring and thought-provoking. And all of these kind of modern day, they're kind of like rock concerts in a way. At least I'm speaking in California. It may not be the same. Let me know what it's like where you live. And if you have found a church that you like, we are experimenting with going to some different churches, smaller churches. As I say, we've done some worship online and we find fellowship in other ways that doesn't necessarily have to be in church every Sunday. I pray, well, this is not about me. What it's about are these strange requests of these non-denominational churches. So that brings me to what I wanted to share with you. And that is an email that came in today from a healthy American couple. And listen to what they want them to do now. So it says, Dear Peggy, you have been helpful in so many ways to my husband and to myself. We never wore the suffocation device during the debacle. We are not human pincushions. We used your religious freedom card and it worked, she put exclamation point. Thank you for your wisdom and critical thinking. She says, here is our current problem. My husband and I are greeters in our church in Southern California. In fact, I am in charge of the greeters and we both thoroughly enjoy doing this. All right, just my own commentary. A greeter is exactly like it sounds. You're somebody at the church. You welcome the people in. Maybe you help them, you know, find out where they need to go, find out if they're new. All of those things could be under the greeter category. She says, we both thoroughly enjoy doing this. The problem is the church wants us to get fingerprinted. She says, now, we were flight attendants for 43 years, and we were fingerprinted all those years without a hitch. We're not resisting being fingerprinted because there's something to hide, but we are resisting for the following reasons. She says, number one, the government doesn't need to know where we go to church. Can I get an amen to that? Then she writes, this is an unpaid, right, volunteer greeting position. We understand the need of being fingerprinted if we were working with children, but we are not working with children. We are merely saying, hi, we're so glad you're here. She writes, is this common in churches in California to be required to be fingerprinted, to be a greeter? Is there a way around it? We would hate to give up our volunteering for this reason. Thank you for your time and your advice would be greatly appreciated. So thank you so much to my lovely Healthy Americans for writing in and asking for my help, Peggy to the rescue. And I would like to know your comments and I would like to know what advice you would give them. And I would also like to know, have you ever found yourself in this situation where your church wanted you to become fingerprinted and have this security background check on you in a position where you were a volunteer and you're not working with children? So I find that crossing the line. So I gave a very simple, short response. And I said, thank you so much for writing. I would express your very exact concerns to your church in writing. You stated them very well. Is there some sort of law requiring this? Now, I know there isn't. Not that I'm not aware of that, but I am pretty sure there's no law. And I would like her to ask the church to cite the law if there is one. And then I said, it seems ridiculous to me that a church does not trust its parishioners, its congregants, its members. Perhaps it's time to pray for God to lead you to a different church if this cannot be resolved. That was my simple advice. Let me know if there's something that I left out. Let me know if you would get fingerprinted or if you share their concerns. I feel that it's a strange request. I feel that it is overstepping the bounds of somebody who is doing this on a volunteer basis. And it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. So I would add that to my list of reasons why I don't attend these modern day non-denominational rock concert style churches. As I say, that may be a good fit for you. It's not a good fit for me. I find other ways to get my spiritual nourishment. And that's what I have for you today. What I've got coming up is a live video for you where I'm going to attempt to share without crying some of the beautiful cards and items that you have sent me during my period of intense grief over the loss of my two precious animals within a week of each other over the last few weeks. And I am sorrowing deeply. And anyone that has had the love of an animal and has lost an animal, which is basically a part of the family, you know the indescribable agony and soul anguish that accompanies these types of losses. Maybe you don't, but from the number of emails that I've gotten and the comments that I've gotten from my lovely Healthy Americans, you do understand this type of unique grief because it's a unique relationship. It's not the same as a human relationship because it's not a human relationship. It's a human to animal bond, which I believe is divinely ordained because God created animals before he created mankind. And the Bible tells us that Adam was in charge of the animals. He named the animals. He was able to speak to the animals before Eve came onto the scene. So our first relationship outside of man and God is man and animals. And I believe it's a reflection of God's unconditional love for us. These are our angels on earth. And now I've got my angels in heaven and in my heart always. So I want to thank all of you for your incredible messages and support that they really have helped me and have helped bring comfort. So I want to share that with you in this video coming up. And later this week, I'm going to be doing a video on the Chevron decision. And I've also got great news from a Healthy American who was a concierge member and learned from us all about her civil rights and her religious rights. And she was awarded close to $750,000 in her lawsuit against Blue Cross. Now, I was not a part of that lawsuit. I'm not getting those winnings I guess they're kind of winnings in a way that she is awarded from the court. But I also want to cover that story for you. And then I will continue to bring you more coverage about keeping your pets healthy. Many of you have been asking me about that and other things that we can avoid that sort of, you know, the common culture wants to do to our animals, and we need to stand strong against that. All right, that's what I've got coming up for you, everybody. Thank you again for being on board. Stay tuned for this live stream, and I'll see you in that video coming right up.